صوت أهل السنة والجماعة، صوت مركز الصحابة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqh ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. The date today is the 22nd of Muharram 1445, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 10th of August 2023. Alhamdulillah, our topic today is the importance of Sunnah. Let's welcome Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab Damat Barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, when we say Sunnah, what is the definition of it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When one studies the noble Quran, then you will find that the literal meaning of sunnah means a path, a system. Therefore, you find in the Quran Sharif, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. For example, in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter number 33 and verse number 62, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says that سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِ. The system of Almighty Allah regarding the nations of the past, they loved and they died. Those who were successful will go to Jannah and Paradise, they passed away with Iman and Islam. Those who died on Kufr and Shirk and blasphemy and polytheism, idol worship, they go to Jahannam and the Hellfire. Entry into Jannah and Paradise is Rahmatan wa Fadlan min Allah, the mercy and the grace of Almighty Allah. Those who enter Jahannam and Hellfire, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, that is Adlam min Allah Jalla wa Ala, and that is the justice system of Allah. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. So in the system and the way of Almighty Allah, you won't find a change there. Surah 33, verse number 6. Now, before we understand the technical definition, we have to read Surah Al-Jumu'ah, chapter 62, verse 2. Why did Almighty Allah Jalla Wala send Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here to this world? 40 years Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, the most beloved, the most precious to the people. But once the revelation came, then the revolution started. The same people yesterday who were praising Nabi alayhi salatu salam started criticizing, condemning Allah forbid Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what happened? So these are the four functions of the Master alayhi salam, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, that you must teach them how to recite the noble Quran. Majority of them were Arabs, yet they required a teacher that recite the Quran Sharif correctly. So nobody can know, do DIY, do it yourself and say, no, I will know how to read Quran. No, we need a teacher. Inna ma bu'istu mu'allima, hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, I have been sent as a teacher. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa yuzakihim, and to purify them, sanctify them, externally and internally. Externally from the kufr and shirk, the blasphemy, and the polytheism, the idol worship. You see today the Hindus, the Buddhists, so many people still worshipping the idols and so forth. So that is externally. And internally, the arrogance, the pride, the jealousy, hubbul dunya, hubbul mal, hubbul jah, and that is the love of this world. Our hearts get saturated and filled with the love of this world and of wealth and of name and fame and so forth. So all these qualities Nabi alayhi salatu salam taught them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and to teach them the Quran Sharif. So remember that. So the one is to to teach them the words, and one is to teach them the import and the meaning and the translation of it and the greater meaning of it. Allah says, "Wa aqimu salah wa atu zakah." So what meaning they're going to take, and what meaning Nabi alayhi salam is going to take? Obviously, so wa aqimu salah, so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam physically then demonstrated to them how much you read salat, what time must you read the salat, and that is what you call wa yu'allimuhumul kitab wal hikmah. So this hikmah that is mentioned after kitab, the Quran Sharif, or what is mentioned in Surah 33, verse 34, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, refers to the Sunnah Nabawiyyah, refers to the Sunnah, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is how we then understand what do we mean by the Sunnah. وَآتُ الزَّكَةِ, certain wealth is zakat, certain wealth is no zakat. Now who is going to teach you all this? Only Nabi alayhi salam, because he was, he is, he will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah, and he is the last and the final messenger. So the message is for all times, all places, all circumstances. You see, gold and silver, there will be zakat, but diamonds, there won't be zakat. So why, unless you got the diamond for selling purposes? So if I have 100 kilos, 50 kilo diamond, and I'm not selling it, so there's no zakat on that. So who is going to teach us all these type of things? Only Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So tilawatul Quran, so our maktab, our madrasas, primary madrasas, they do. Wa yuzakihim, our khankas, and that is what they teach us, purification, purification of our intention, of our a'mal, it must be done with ikhlas and sincerity. So purification of our income and what we eat and what we consume, you know. So all that will come in. Then teach them, so the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah, so that our Darulums and all that will be doing. So that's a different thing. Are we doing it or not? That's a different issue. But that is the purpose of it. Now, if you want to go further, then this is so beautiful if you understand it. Regarding the actions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala teaches us, remember, in Surah 3, chapter 3, and that is Surah Al-Imran, verse 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you really love Almighty Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me immaculately, حَبِيبُنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ. So this is regarding the a'mal, the af'al, the actions and the deeds of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. And I'll give you examples. Yuhbibkumullah, and then you become the beloved of Almighty Allah. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and then your sins will be forgiven. See hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Just now 1 hour's time or so is Zuhur time. So now a person go read Zuhur 3 rakats, 5 rakats. So nobody will say he's accepted. So swallu kama ra'aytumuni uswalli, hadith Bukhari Sharif. Perform your salat as you see me performing the salat. So we can't be performing salat as we want to. We must follow, imitate, emulate immaculately the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. People are going for Umrah now. Every day people are going. People perform Hajj and came back. You can't just do as you feel like. You go and make Safa Marwa first, and then you make Tawaf and so forth. So obviously it's unacceptable. So khudu anni manasikakum, authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Take your actions of Umrah and Hajj from me. So that is what is meant by the Sunnah Mubarakah. So regarding the actions, the word used is ittiba. So we must learn how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam interacted with his wives, Mubarak, honorable wives, how he interacted, remember, with non-Muslims, how the Master alayhi salam kept the siyam and the fast of Ramadan and other times, salat and then zakat, everything will come included. Then the speech Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salam, you won't find a single place in the Quran, not one place, where Ati'ullah is mentioned and Rasul is not mentioned after that. See the verse after that. قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ, So say Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be obedient to Almighty Allah and be obedient to who? To Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everywhere consistently you will find Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ati'ullah wa ati'u rasul. Ati'ullah wa rasul. So why? Because Almighty Allah has made the announcement loudly and clearly. May yuti'ir rasul faqad ata' Allah. Whosoever is obedient to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then only is that person obedient to Almighty Allah. Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 80. So very easy reference, chapter 4, verse 80. So if a person says, no, I will be obedient to Almighty Allah, but I won't believe and I won't do the actions as Nabi alayhi salam did, or I don't accept Nabi alayhi salam. So obviously such a person is out of the fold of Islam. So regarding the actions, we got ittiba'un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding the speech mubarak, we got ita'atullah and ita'atul rasul. We have to be obedient to Almighty Allah and obedient to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in every aspect of our life, every department of our life, Almighty Allah jalla wala taught us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That you, O Ummah, you must look at the Master alayhi salatu salam as the Uswa Hasana, the perfect role model. Take simple example. My son wants to learn to drive or want to swim. I tell him, just jump in the pool and go swim. What will happen? He'll drown, obviously. So I tell him, take, here's the keys of the car and go and drive. You know how many cars he'll smash and what. So remember, our daughter, she wants to learn to cook. You tell her, just go, there's the stove there, start cooking. You know what a mess she will make. You maybe find some squares and moussas and all that. So when simple things of life, you need a role model. You need a person to demonstrate and supervise you. So Almighty Allah said in Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, verse number 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. But who will accept it and who will practice on it? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. The people who believe in Almighty Allah. يَرْجُ don't mean you have hope in Allah. You have that firm conviction in Almighty Allah. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ. And the last day. So Allah was, is, will always be. And the last day is the last day. So in between, all the articles of faith come in. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And you remember Almighty Allah profusely abundant. So now you see easy example. People say be good Muslim, but let there be a nikah, and then you will see all the haram things go on there. You will find the music, you will find the dancing, you will find the videoing, you will find the intermingling, and so many other haram things going on, the israf and the tabzir. Millions and millions are spent on that. Then you see mort mayit, how many customs and traditions are brought in and so forth, which are against the teaching, preaching of Islam. So that is why when we speak of sunnah, and it is all-encompassing, Qawlun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the speech mubarak of the Master alayhi wa sallam, the fair mubarak, amal mubarak, the actions and deeds of the Master alayhi wa sallam, Taqreerun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tacit approval. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard something from the Sahaba, and he, the Master alayhi wa sallam, kept quiet, meaning he approved of it, but did not say it verbally. You call it taqreerun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the qaf, and that means tacit approval. Or somebody did an action in the presence of the Master alayhi wa sallam. So that also will be considered as acceptable. And we must remember, if you take now fuqaha, the jurists of Islam, they say sunnah. So we say, for example, the two rakats of Fajr Salat before the first Salat is sunnah. Sunnah-e-Mu'akkada, very emphasized sunnah. So that is the jurists. But when you ask the muhaddithin, then they have a very broad connotation. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فعلا عمل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، تقرير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، and the hulya and the appearance of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. How was the master عليه الصلاة والسلام's eyes mubarak, ears mubarak, features? So therefore you find in Shama'il Tirmidhi and all that, how Sayyidina Ali radiallahu and other sahaba, they describe the master عليه الصلاة والسلام. So all that will come under the ambit and under the purview and under the definition of sunnah, depending how you want to look at it and so forth and so on. And remember that the sunnah is not only for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. The master alayhi salatu salam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul. So therefore, inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I am the messenger for you, for all of you, for all times, all places. Walakin Rasulullahi wa khataman nabiyyin. Chapter 33, verse 40. The Master alayhi salatu salam was, is, will always be the last and the final messenger. So that is what, see, on the deathbed and the fatal illness. My father now, I know, it's his last moments. My mother, it's her last moments. So they give us some advice. They are ordinary mortals. They are sinners, like we are sinners. So remember, but we give advice to our students or our children, grandchildren. Yeah, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ma'soom and protected from all types of vices and sins, and teaching the ummah. And the farewell advice, as-salah, as-salah. So today you look at the ummah, 80%, don't read 5 daily salat on time. So you see. So now it shows where the ummah is and where is the teaching of Nabi alayhi salam. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُكُمْ, and over whom you have authority. Our wives, our children, our students, our employees. So like that, so over whom you. So how many of us are really fulfilling their rights? And politically, أخرجوا اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب. Expel the Jews and the Christians. This is a commandment for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today you see the Arab regimes, that 90% of them kuffar, the leaders, that they bring in the Jews and the Christians and non-Muslims. Direct opposite of what Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Sahih Hadith, open Muslim, Muslim, Ahmad, and that you will find. So like that, we must understand Sunnah has got a very, very broad connotation in Islam. And therefore, we cannot deny it. Then another mistake, even ulama make this mistake, and the Orientalists make this mistake. When we speak of a tashri'ul islami means the sharia. So you must say it like this. This is how you must say it. That the primary sources are two. The primary sources are two. Al-Masdarul Awwal, you want to discuss a masla, an issue. So first we go to Quran Sharif. Quran says, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ فَرُدُّ الشَّيْءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So refer it to Almighty Allah, the Quran Sharif. فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Then refer it to the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. So the primary sources are the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah. The second one of the primary sources are the Sunnah. You will find people write books on Islamic law and Sharia. They say the Sunnah is a secondary source. That is already almost kufr to make that kind of statement. It means you are downplaying the Sunnah. So Sunnah is not a secondary source. It's a primary source, but its position is number two, after Quran. Secondary sources are Ijma, Aqyas, Istihsan, Masali Mursala, and all those things. That are secondary sources. So basic mistakes you will find. Some senior ulama also, when they write, then they make these kind of mistakes and so forth. And Orientalists have planted the seeds of all these things here. Therefore, we must know Sunnah vis-a-vis the Orientalists. Sunnah vis-a-vis the Shias, Sunnah vis-a-vis the Munkirin Hadith. Then we must know Sunnah vis-a-vis the Mutajaddidin, these modernists. So each one needs to be discussed, Mu'tazila and so forth. Remember that. So each one has to be discussed independently.
Mufti Sahib, here's a question for our, it will benefit our listeners. We say Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So what's the meaning of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah?
Almighty Allah spoke of this in the Quran Sharif himself. Remember that. Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12, verse number 108. Qul hadhihi sabili. Say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way, this is my path. Adu'u ila Allah. I invite towards Almighty Allah. I invite towards Islam. We invite towards revelation. We invite towards the true Islam without fear and favor. Ala basiratin. And you must have firm conviction. And you need to have the necessary knowledge. Ana. Ana, I Nabi alayhi salatu salam. So Ana already refers to who? To the Sunnah. Wal jama'a wa manittaba'ani. And those who follow me immaculately. So who are the people, the first and foremost, who followed Nabi alayhi salam immaculately? Who? The Sahaba. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says, go open Mishkat Sharif, ikhtarahumullahu li suhbati nabiyihi wa iqamati dinihi. Almighty Allah, how Allah Ta'ala selected the prophets and messengers, and they were not elected. So Almighty Allah selected the companions of the Master alayhi salatu salam, and to establish the deen of Almighty Allah. Just look at Sahaba in my travels. I found Sahaba in China, I found them in Russia, I found them in Uzbekistan, we find them in so many different countries and so forth and so on, Arab countries and all. So where and where they went to in Masjid al-Aqsa. So like that you must remember to establish the deen of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So that's why. So ala basiratin ana wa manittaba'ani. Ana sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa manittaba'ani al-jama'a. So anybody follows Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and you follow the sahaba, all the sahaba, then obviously first is Allah Ta'ala, then it is ahlu sunnah wal jama'a. It's derived from this ayat here, surah 12, surah Yusuf, verse number 108.
Mufti Sahib, are the Salafis part of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah?
Yes, you must remember that people make big mistake today. They are part of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but you must remember, you can't say that they're non-Muslim and so forth, that we will say they're part of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but we will say that there are certain issues that are serious that we have with them and so forth. For example, I just give you 2-3, that you must remember that some people say they're not part of it, but we don't agree with these things here. So you must remember that we say they are part of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. If you don't say they're not part of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you won't be able to read Salat behind the Imams of the Haram. You must think what you are saying properly. Because not one of them are, they're all Salafis. So all every Imam, there is a Salafi. You must remember this type of things. Yeah. They will tell you they're following Hanbali school, but they follow Hanbali school on certain issues. Otherwise, they're all Salafis, 80%, 90%. 1-2, maybe you accept, exempt this different thing, but generally, they're Salafis. So you must remember this. Then you have to make ta'wil. You say, no, they're the Ahlul Qibla. So you see, from one, you jump to another, and this type of things. Yeah. It's all. So rather, we just say they are part of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but we have problems with them on certain issues. For example, the famous ones are this in Aqidah, Ain Allah. So when they ask, Ain Allah, where is Allah? So the question I pose to them, before I answer, I say, you must answer, Ain Allah, qabla al-arsh wa ba'da halaki al-arsh. Arsh is makhluk. So where is Allah Ta'ala, where was Allah Ta'ala, where will Allah be before the arsh and the throne was created? Tomorrow, Surah 28, verse 88, Allah Ta'ala says, Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. That, remember that, every, you must remember, this thing, Kullu shay'in, will be destroyed by Almighty Allah. So in thing comes the arsh also. So then where is Allah Ta'ala? You see? So till now they can't answer. And the dalil is in the Quran, Surah 2, verse 115. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So there Allah is speaking about Wajhullah. So you can't say Allah Ta'ala is only on the arsh and all these type of things. There is clear text in the Quran. So, and then in Masail, you know, 20 rakats Tarawih, and then the 3 talaq issue, then the masah on the normal socks, then Isali Sawab to read Quran Sharif for the deceased. So like that, we have a lot of ikhtilaf with them, but yet we will definitely say they are Muslim. We must be clear on that issue there. We won't say they're non-Muslim. We will say they're Muslim. And according to, there's some ulama, they say they're not Ahlul, but I don't agree with that. We say they are part of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah.
Inshallah, we've reached the halfway. We'll go for the break and meet you after that.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Sawt Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Sawt Marcus Sahaba.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, we're back at this program and our discussion is on the importance of Sunnah. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, the Salafis say books like Fadail Amal, they contain weak and sometimes they even go to the extent of saying fabricated hadith.
Yes, you must remember that. Many a time we interacted with them. So you see, when you interact with all these characters, the easiest way to answer their argument is you must use their books. So I told them that giving the answer for this year, when I met Sheikh Albani rahimahullah, right, in Jordan, in Amman. So I met him and I told him also, I told him straight, I told him, Sheikh, I got $1,000 in my pocket, you know, that $1,000 or whatever I got in my pocket, but I don't want to go buy. You must give me books, be your old head. So he was sick, he was ill, the man. But he smiled, you know. Then he told his khadim there that they go bring this book. The 2-3 books he gave were very good. So the first one he gave was Tahrimu Alati Turb, that those musical instruments are haram. And I still say that that book is one of the best books regarding music and instruments and that in the Arabic language. Very good. Then he gave me Al Adabul Mufrad. Sahihu al-adab al-mufrad and da'ifu al-adab al-mufrad. Now al-adab al-mufrad is the work of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. So when Imam Bukhari rahimahullah wrote his magnum opus, you must remember that he sahihu al-Bukhari. So what you will say? He chose sahih hadiths, hasan hadiths, like that he chose. But when he himself came to Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he didn't apply that criteria because this book has to do with fazail and virtues. So now you come down, you bring the bar down because you're speaking of that. So I said, now, once you understood that, right, Sheikh Albani took Al-Adab al-Mufrad, made it into 2 volumes, Sahih al-Adab al-Mufrad, Da'if al-Adab al-Mufrad. So now, we just pause there for a moment. So take Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykhul Hadith Nawwalullah Marqadaw. The kitab's name is Fazail A'mal and so forth. Obviously they are Da'if Ahadith and so forth and so on. Ibn Majah got Maudu Hadiths. So what you going to say? You going to take the whole Ibn Majah and throw away? We all agree Ibn Majah has got certain Maudu Hadiths. So let's say even Fazail A'mal, hypothetically, it got Maudu Hadith. So what you going to say? Throw it away? So I say that, now let's work with Da'if. Understood? I'll give you 2-3 very good answers for this. So you must remember that. So you say, Salafi, that this book for their Amal, you must take and throw away. Some of them say you must burn it also, Allah forbid. So I say, so if that is what you are saying, then what will you say of Sheikh Albani when he said the second volume is Da'ifu al-Adab al-Mufrad? So that also you must put away, or you must burn it and throw it away. They say, La kif. I say, Sa ama tahkumun. Tilka idhan qismatun dviza. When you speak of Hazrat Sheikh, then you say like this. But when I spoke of Sheikh Albani and what he did to Imam Bukhari's work, then you say, no, it's not acceptable. So who is on consistency and who is not on consistency? They can't answer that, you see. So, I met a great muhaddis there in Medina Munawwara, Sheikh Ibrahim Khalilullah and Mullah Khatir, you understand? And I still got that book there. He wrote it, he wrote the whole book, and this is the mistake they make. Even Albani, Sheikh Albani makes this mistake. خُطُورَةُ تَسْوِيَةِ الْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ بِالْحَدِيثِ الْمَوْضُوعِ. The great fear that people start equating hadith ad-da'if with hadith al-mawdu, the fabricated hadith. You got it? So you must understand this, that is totally wrong. We also say hadith al-mawdu has no place in Islam. La li-targhib wa la li-tarhib. That you can't concoct and fabricate a hadith and attribute it to Nabi alayhi salam. Man kazaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maqadahu minan nar, and so forth. Right? So that definitely not permissible. But da'if ahadith will be acceptable in fada'il. That is what Imam Bukhari is showing you in his work Al-Adabul Mufrad. That is what Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah is showing you in Kitabul Azkar. That is what you must remember the Muhaddisin are showing you. So you must remember whether it's Ibn Majah or whether it's Imam Tirmidhi or Imam Abu Dawood. Every one of them got da'if ahadith. You understood? Ibn Majah got some maudu ahadith also. We all agree on it. The ahadith he brought on Qazwin. So that are totally maudu ahadith. So remember that. So that you take out. But take out meaning you say that this hadith is maudu, and if we don't practice on it and we don't promote it and so forth. So it's a mistake. Every person can make mistake and so forth. So the point we are making here is this. The mentality they got, that the Salafis, most of them, I don't say all, but they take, say hadith da'if, just take and throw away. It's totally wrong. That you must remember these things there. In fada'il, but you must say it. See, Allama Munziri Rahimahullah, in Targhib wa Tarhib, when he want to quote Sahih Hasan hadith, he used the word Rawah. And when he want to use weaker hadith, he say Ruwiya, anin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, those are the technical terminology which Muhaddisin have used. We must use, understand all these type of things.
Mufti Sahib, the Shia say we also accept Sunnah. Why do you call us the dogs of the earth?
So you must remember that Shias, they say they accept Hadith. So they will quote our books. They will say that Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein are the leaders of the youth in Jannah and so forth. But you must remember that they will only use those ahadith which suit their agenda. Wal Hassan wal Hussein, Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah, and so forth. They say, when you study the manhaj, the methodology of Shias and hadith, so they say that the hadith must come through the imam. One of the imams must be there. Imam Ali, I'm using their term now. Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar, like that, you see. So Imam Musa Qasim, Imam Rida, and all that. So that is how they work in this term. But when we show them in Tirmidhi Sharif, there's a hadith through Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, so you must remember that Mut'a is totally haram. Then they reject it. So they will give Khomeini's verdict preference over our ahadith. Now that brings us to another topic. And what is the topic of Adalatu Sahaba? That the Sahaba are those. Chapter 57, verse 10. وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Yes, they committed sins. Yes, they ran away from the battle and what some of them. But Allah Ta'ala forgave them. So who are me and you to go and now criticize them and mock them and so forth? So difa an ashabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala defended the honor, integrity of Sahaba. Surah 9, verse 79. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ is the battle of Tabuk, the 90th of the Hijrah. The month is Rajab. So Allah, and they had to spend, and they spend millions, like Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Abu Bakr brought all his wealth, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh brought half his wealth. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُتَّوِّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Those who spend voluntarily, and مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah calls them مُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. Those who are poor, they brought few dates and so forth. Allah is praising them. But they, فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. They mock the Sahaba. They criticize the Sahaba. They castigate the Sahaba. Allah says, once you do that, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will mock you, tell you go to Jannah, and then the floor will open, the land sand will open, you go straight to Jahannam. Allah protect us. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So therefore, that if you take the nusus, you speak, see Shias. Khomeini openly says, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, all of them non-Muslim. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So what is the meaning of Surah 9 verse 100? وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ. They are the سَابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. They are the people who brought Islam initially. So we must remember. Surah 9 verse 40 is for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ مَعَنَا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ مَعَنَا. All that comes in. Nobody can translate something else. Even the Shia tafsir, they are constrained to say that this ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ refers to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Surah 24, verse 26, and what you see there. Allah Ta'ala praising Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, Ulaika mubarra'una mimma yaqulun, lahum maghfiratu wa rizqun kareem. But they want to say Aisha finnar. So therefore, when you speak of Sunnah and the Shias, then the masla of Adalatu Sahaba have to come. They say Sahaba 90%, 95% are kuffar, murtad, all that. Any person who says that is out of the fold of Islam, 100% you must remember that. So therefore, you must remember, they have books, you must remember, on Rijal, Rijalul Kashi and all that. Many other books they have. But we say the biggest issue that you are not accepting is that the Sahaba, Allah gave them the Bushra and Bisharat, radiyallahu anhum wa radwan, wa kullu wa'dallahu al-husna. Allah did not make istisna of anyone. Then you get characters like Salman Nadwi and them. So remember, who say Sahaba munafiqin, Allah forbid, is kufr to say that. So when you say Sahabi, is a person, male, female, adult, child, who saw Nabi alayhi salatu salam in the state of iman and passed away with iman. So there's no, is never can it happen a person who's sahabi is a munafiq. If a person is munafiq, he can't be a sahabi. It's two opposites. You must remember these things here. And for them, the Quran says, Surah 4, verse 145, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. You see? So we need to be very, very careful on these type of issues here.
Mufti Sahib, who are the Orientalists?
Orientalists, in Arabic, we call them Al-Mustashriqoon. So, you know, our Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi, he wrote the whole book on this. Al-Ishtishraq wal-Mustashriqoon, Orientalism and the Orientalists. And you must read about them. You know, when I went to university to go study there and all that, I learned a lot about these things here, you know. I just mentioned 3-4 of them. They got their own. Now we're using the term just to, you know, make you understand, basically. So they have a term called, like, Sheikhul Hadith, right? So the biggest person in their field, they will call who goes here. So Golzia wrote a whole book on hadith and why you can't accept it and so forth. Then you must get the Jutla in the mix. So Joseph Schacht. So Schacht wrote also against hadith. Then you get James Robson. Now the James Robson, he did some great work. What is truth? We must speak the truth. You must remember that. So you must remember, you know what he did. I mean, let us be honest about these issues. You go to any Darulum here in South Africa. You go to any Darulum in India, Pakistan, and ask them the books you are using, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, and Mu'tama Malik, and you must remember Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasai. How did you get this copy? So this, from the 100 students, if you get 5 students who can answer, you'll be lucky. You must remember these things here. Now Robson, he did all this work. You must remember that. So you go to Bukhari, why are you using Farabri's copy? When you go to Mu'tama Malik, why are you using Yahya bin Layth and all of them? So he gives you the chain, and thus how this person heard it from imam, from the imam, and then this person, then this copy, yeah, well, became the best copy, and this is the copy we use in the world and all this type. Now you see today when we also teach, this is all hit and run business. You understand? The end of the day, subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah, al-azim, and make dua. And I mean, that's how we teach today. Let us be honest about it. So it's not how hadith is supposed to be taught, really speaking. You must remember that. So for hadith to be taught, we have to teach them the sanad and lot of issues. Asma'u rijal. I'll give you another one. Montgomery Watt wrote, Montgomery is his name, and Watt, W-A-T-T, so is his surname. So you must remember, he wrote in a book called Formative Period, you Muslims, Al-Fadlu ma shahidat bil-ada, that is the enemies of Islam. But he also admitted to this, said, I studied Abu Dawood and Nasai, and what he writes all these things here. And the Sunan books I studied, and I was amazed of the amount of consistency I found. That, I'm just paraphrasing him, and he says that, I found that you'll have 500,000 rijal and nisa and women and men and children and what have you. Islam is the only religion on the face of the earth that has this. And simple, I give you an example. You go to any pope, any priest, any clergy, any pastor, whatever you want to call him, predicant, whatever you want, and ask them that you got Matthew, Luke, and all these characters in the Bible. What's their surname? Did any one of them meet Jesus? Not one met Jesus. We don't even know their surname. So it shows this whole thing is cooked up, you must remember this. So it was, therefore, the Bible on the radio, I say so many times, they got so many different versions of the Bible that even the virgins get confused and their fuses get blown and so forth, you must remember that. So, because you don't have that tasalsul, everywhere there's inqita, everywhere it is an interrupted chain, you must remember. So the first person to give me a Bible, there in Newcastle, one guy, said, I don't know how we are speaking something. He said, wait, I'll give you a Bible. I still got it. So they call it the red ink Bible. So they say, this is what they claim. What Jesus said, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, peace be upon him, that is written in red. And everybody else, what they said, that is written in black. If you go and see that Bible, I still got it, King James Version. So remember, maybe if you find 20, 25, 30% is Jesus said, otherwise 70, 75% is what everybody else said. You understood? So you can understand that how is a big problem for them. So when we speak of Orientalists, you see, they did some great things. Wensing was the first person. I mean, things like this we supposed to do, but we never did it. Then afterwards, our ulama learned these things. You call this a concordance. Now, if you ask, how many times the word Zamzam came? Now, how many of us know? In Bukhari, how many times it came? In Muslim, how many times it came? Yesterday, we were sitting in the dars of Hazrat Mufti Sahib. So you must remember that I had a good laugh. I didn't tell anybody because very few students will even understand. So the word Obash came. You see, they're speaking about the battles and that. So if you study in Urdu, then you say, Ye Obash kisam ke log hai, in Urdu. So it, in Urdu, it will mean these are gangsters and guys with real characters like the mafia. That will be the translation. But in the hadith, it means jama'ah. You understand, in Arabic and so forth. So, you know, so now you take words like this. That how many times it came? We can't say. We don't even have it. So when Singh came and he did the whole concordance of the hadith kitabs. You understand? I mean, we Muslims never did it. Then Sheikh Fuad Abdul Baqi came and then he did the work and all these type of things because Wensing made some mistakes and so forth. So Hazrat Abul Hasan Sheikh Muhammad Hasan Nadwi, he said, we must admit that some of the work they did, that is the Orientalists, we ourselves, we never did this type of work. You understood? So, but obviously, that doesn't mean that they Muslim. Their intention, by and large, was to undermine the hadith, to undermine the sunnah. And therefore, very few of them, or hardly any one of them, really embrace Islam. You understand? This Montgomery Watt, he's like a priest. He wrote a book, Muhammad in Makkah, Muhammad in Medina, but he died non-Muslim. So now, if he embraced Islam, privately, discreetly, then it's between him and Allah. But as we said, Sayyidina Umar taught us, and we accept everybody, nahnu nahnu نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّي السَّرَائِرِ. We pass the verdict on the prima facie evidence, what is in front of us, what is in the hearts of people, we don't know. So we must, that is between Him and Almighty Allah. So we must learn in our darulums, our madrasas, that how the Orientalists, now if you take these names, so 90% of our students never even heard their names, let alone study it. You ask about Golzier, ask about Schacht, ask about Wensink, ask about James Robson. I mean, I myself, I'll be honest, if somebody asks me, Mishkat Sharif, they want the English translation, I'll tell them, to be honest, you know, what I saw, James Robson, I mean, I can, maybe today, now there's some others, but when I was to teach in Darulum Day in Newcastle, I should tell them that James Robson, I still got it by me, James Robson's translation is very good. Now imagine, we have to tell our students that Orientalist translation is an indictment upon me and upon us, because we Muslims are not doing our job. You see that? So that there are translations, but you know, it's not good translations and so forth. See, I give you an easy example. Simple example. You take Qadianis. 100% kuffar. There's no question about it, right? We all agree on that. So, and I told you, always remember this date. 7th September 1974. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri, rahimahullah, and all the ulama. So whether it was Diobandi, Barelvi, Ahle Hadith, Shia, and Maududi, and whoever, the whole happy lot, you understand? Everybody formed an alliance against them. It was the time of Zulfikar Ali Bhutto in 74. We were studying there. And then you must remember that King Faisal Bhutto, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri Rahimullah, met them and said, you all also must now work, and we have to pass the verdict. Khatme Nubuwwat is, you know. So they all agreed. And Bhutto said, let me do one good deed in my life at this. So on 7th September 19, you can just Google it there, so we got the date right there. 7th September, Pakistan and Qadianis. So what I remember, it was 7th September. Liyat Mainna Kalbi. So 99% is right, but just recheck it up there quickly. So 7th September, he went on TV, radio, this, all that, and he said that Qadianis are non-Muslim, Aqalliyate, and Ghair Muslim, and thus, and all this type of things. So, you know, then I told you all that incident when Sheikhul Azhar came there, and we were eyewitness in Masjid Nabawi, and he came to Hazrat Allama Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah and told him, last night I saw Nabi alayhi salam in my dream, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must go, you Sheikh al-Azhar, go and salute and congratulate Allama Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri for the work he did for Khatm al-Nubuwwat and so forth. Is there 7th September?
I find 1974, I'm just checking for the...
Just put Qadianis and put Zulfikar Bhutto and so you'll find something there. So you must remember this. So it's a historic date in Pakistan. There. So this happened then. And this happened when we were there in Umrah, in Medina Munawwara, and we were sitting. We never understood Urdu and Arabic and all these things there. It was our starting, you know, first year of ours and so forth. So now I want to just tell you about them. This I saw where? In Zurich, in Switzerland. So, if you take 27 countries of the European Union, so these Qadianis, what they did, they translated the Quran according to their understanding. For every European country, we the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if a guy asks, I want English translation, we can show. We want this translation, we can show. But you got so many other European countries, if they ask, they give us a translation, we can't give, we don't even have it. And these Qadianis, they're on Batil, but they have it. You see, so that, and then they got the catchy slogan, love for all and hatred for none. Still, you can't find it.
I got it, Chui.
Yeah, what is it?
And 7th September,
yeah.
1974.
Yeah.
And Suleiman said 20th Shaban.
Huh?
Suleiman gave the Islamic date. Tunya Shaban.
Oh, very good. You see, it's good he gave that. So just after that was Ramadan, and then Hazrat Allama bin Nuri, first half, he used to spend in Karachi, and second half, he come Pakistan, he made itikaf 33, 34 times in Masjid Nabawi. So then he come there, make Umrah and all, and then 19, 20th come to Medina and make itikaf there. So that is where all this happened and so forth. So very good. So we'll look at the Islamic date also. It's good we must give currency to the Islamic date. So 7th September it was 1974, right? 7th September and 20th Shaaban. So let me give you the, it will be 1394. See, it's right, 1394. Yeah, so how I remember 1394, because 1980 we finished up and it was 1400, you see. So that's how I remember. So that is good there. So the point I want to make, sometimes we leave such big vacuums. And then these so-called Muslims who say they're Muslim, like Qadianis, they won't say, like next week maybe we can discuss about Qadianism, remind me. So they call themselves Ahmadi Muslims. You see, like how you'll see the media, they say Shia Muslim. Obviously they kuffar, they got nothing to do with Islam, but they want to just beguile and deceive the people and so forth. So now they took the initiative, we will translate the Quran in every European language. Now we, 1 billion, we say we are, which is also debatable. Okay, we just agree. But how come, where are we? You see, so that is the deficiency within our own circles. You must remember these kind of things there. That we must concentrate on these type of things. There's a vacuum in the market. Let's just use business term. So now, who is going to fill that vacuum? So we fighting the whole day and night. So now we get left behind, and these shaitans, enemies come and they do that, and then they give the wrong message. And then they come with the catchy slogan, love for all and hatred for none. So people say this is very good, you see. So that is the big problem we're having. So anyway, our time is up. Allah Ta'ala make us from the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in the true sense of the word, where we will practice and teach the Quran Sharif, the Sunnah Mubarakah, the love for Sahaba, and defend the honor of every Sahabi. And we believe in Awliyaullah, and we follow the four schools of thought. So that is what we must stand for, and that is what we must propagate and so forth. Inshallah al-Aziz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة.